So I live in Glastonbury in the UK. And here in Glastonbury, one of the themes in local conversation, especially among the New Age, is that we're all one. That you and I and everything is made of love. We're all one. And when I'm talking to these people, I think that's not my experience of it at all. My experience as a human being is that I'm entirely separate from you and all the other objects in the universe. In fact, my experience as a human being is that I'm entirely separate from my body. I'm not really here at all. I'm kind of in this ethereal, spiritual kind of soul kind of realm. And entity that's in charge of this body, I sense that you and everything else in the world are not love. I don't experience you as me or experience you as love. Now, I used to say that I did. But I used to say that I did because everyone else said that they did. And as a concept, it's a very nice concept to say that everything is love. And it's a very nice concept to say that you and I are one. Because if you do something bad and I experience that as bad and I want to react to that, I have a choice not to react, to recognize that you and I are one. And that if I do something to you, I'm doing it to myself. And that's how most people in Glastonbury operate. They operate on this principle. So actually, if you wanted to do someone a bad turn in Glastonbury, you'd probably get away with it. And that's where it all starts to go wrong, because human beings don't tend to look into their own experience and see how it is for them. We're like sheep. We follow. So somebody says something, someone else latches onto it, two people are now saying it, some more people latch onto it and form a group, the group is now saying it, they're saying Jesus died on the cross to save humanity. They nailed him to a cross. Suddenly a very large group of people are saying it, suddenly it becomes a way of life, and then 2,000 years later, you're born into that way of life and you just take it as being fact. This is the status quo, the way things are. The way things are that Jesus died on a cross to save us and we're all sinners. That's not my experience of it. My experience of life is quite different to that. I experience myself as separate. And the reason I experience myself as separate is quite simple. And we can start to address this. And then actually, instead of having this whole oneness idea as a concept and looking at oneness as a concept and saying, oh, nicey, nicey, I'm not going to do bad things to you because you are me. And if I do bad things to you, I'm doing bad things to myself. No, forget all that. The oneness as a concept should definitely be rethought. Experiencing oneness as a way of being, or actually having oneness as an experience, is a whole different ball game. And once that happens, once the point of view shifts from I'm a separate person experiencing life as a separate field of objects, including you, which is happening outside of me, to, hey, actually, I am universal life force energy manifesting as a being, or as manifesting as a body, which is known as Mark. That's a different experience. And then once you're in that experience of I am universal life force energy manifesting as a body known as Mark, it's extremely easy to completely forget that and to fall back into conditioning. And conditioning is like the patterns and ways of being and thoughts about the world which were instilled in you from birth. Jesus died on the cross to save us for our sins. So, how does that work? How do I experience myself as not separate? Or how do I drop the experience of separation? So who you are is an awareness, let's say. That's who you really are. Who you really are is an awareness. You know that's true because when you wake up in the morning, the one thing you notice is that things are happening around you, things are changing, things are moving, including you, including your state. Your emotions shift from day to day, from moment to moment. So all this is happening. But to know that that's happening, and this is the gnosis, to know that that's happening, then there has to be awareness. So the awareness itself is self-evident. What you are, it's harder to tell what that is. And you may not know what you are. Your physical presence may or may not be true. We could be living in a digital construct like the Matrix, in the film The Matrix. This could all be a huge holograph. But if it was a huge holograph, you would still be aware of it, and awareness would still be at the center of experience. So there is an experience, and it's an aware experience. And you are the awareness that makes it possible. This isn't how we're taught to perceive the world, though. So as we grow up, we're taught to perceive the world as if you are a soul or spirit at the center of your experience, that you are a separate entity. So you're separate from your mind, and you're separate from your body. But to a certain extent in the West here, we experience thought as being us. So we identify with thought. But that's not a holistic model of being, is it? Because if you think about yourself, you're not just your thoughts. So that's an interesting thing in itself. If you think about yourself, you're thinking with thoughts about yourself, with thoughts. So you're thinking about thoughts, thinking about, and it all starts to get a bit confusing, and it spirals into this kind of like, what is this man talking about kind of area. And I'll make it really simple. I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you identify with your thoughts? And part of it is because you say, I. So I am going to go to the shop. This is identification with the I and identification with thought. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't try and change that. You'll drive yourself nuts if you try and change that. But why do you identify with thought? Why don't you identify with your body? If you remember an event from the past, you'll have recall in three areas. You have thoughts about it, which is auditory, digital, so that's happening nowhere but inside your head, is the common sense worldview of that, but it doesn't happen anywhere. But you'll also have emotional memories about that past, so you might remember how you felt. And you'll have some visual memories of that past. So you might see pictures in your mind of what happened last week when you were speaking to one of your parents or one of your children. So something happened. The recall presents in three areas, distinct areas: audio or auditory, digital, if you're talking to yourself about it, visual, and kinesthetic. Now we identify mainly with the voice in the head about that, but fail to identify with the emotions. So you are your emotions.